Hey, thank you, Dave, for getting us back on the air. It's always good to be back on the air. And we're going to go through a couple customer questions first, and then we're going to go into some really current event things about the NSA, Edward Snowden, and your privacy. So that's going to come up here in a minute. Hey, let's go through some of the questions. I have a client who actually has a 15-year-old computer, okay, and she uses it for business, and she's on dial-up. So, you know, what do you say to somebody who still is using dial-up and their experiences? Well, you know, if they're happy with dial-up, they really don't know any difference. They check their email, and it takes them 30 minutes to check one, you know, attachment will come down in 30 minutes. So that's kind of what they're used to, and they may not want high speed. You know, it was a long time ago, but we actually lived with dial-up for, what, $20 a month rather than high speed for $40 a month or $70 a month or whatever you're paying for your high-speed internet. So, you know, back then on dial-up, you're happy with $20, right? So this particular customer is pretty happy with her dial-up information. She's also on Earthlink Mail. And Earthlink Mail was actually a program put out 15 years ago of how to get your mail in a little different format, you know, kind of like MSN Mail. It's got its own browser and its own address book and its own emailing system and things like that. So she, of course, wants a brand new computer, which would be Windows 7 or 8. Earthlink dial-up is still around. I mean, she's using it now, so she could still get dial-up. Most computers don't come with modems, though. So you'd actually have to buy an external modem or a certain USB-type modem for about $50. Now, things are not, you know, some things are backward compatible, but this is way backward compatible. This is 15 years backward compatible for dial-up. So, you know, she thought this would be an easy transition. But a lot of times, you know, getting a new computer and the new transition, it's kind of like getting a new girlfriend. You know, it's not the initial setup, but it's all the continual maintenance and upkeep and accessories that you have to pay for. So that's the same thing with laptops, is that, you know, if this particular person wants to stick with Earthlink dial-up and wants to keep the Earthlink Mail program, which I do not even think is compatible with Windows 7, you know, there's workarounds. There's something called virtual XP mode on Windows 7. You can have a window pop up inside with Windows XP inside of Windows 7 or Windows 8. So you could work it that way. But really the best thing is you have to learn to adapt. The computer world will always continue to change, usually monthly, and you have to put up with it. You don't get a choice. You don't get to tell Hotmail that you don't like their new email system, and you want to go back to the old one. You don't get to tell Comcast that you'd rather have your email set up this way or their homepage set up a certain way. You know, they kind of make those decisions for you, and you have to adapt. So resistance is futile, in the immortal words of the Borg from Star Trek. So for this particular person, this was a long conversation with her about how, you know, your old computer, and this lady is about 90 years old too, your old computer is going to need to change, and you're probably going to need more in tutoring than you will for the price of the computer. So let's go to somebody else. We have another customer. She has a nonprofit organization. You always, you know, want to be helpful for people of nonprofits because they're giving their time and stuff for doing something altruistic for the community. Well, anyway, they have a computer, and it needs a parallel port and a serial port. I don't even know if you guys even know what that is. A parallel port is the old-fashioned way of connecting a printer. I think it was actually the first way to ever connect a printer back in the 80s. You connected with this thing about 2.5 inches long and about a quarter inch tall port that plugs in your computer, and that's how your computer will communicate with your printer, a parallel printer. Well, some people have parallel devices still, don't know why. And they say, hey, well, we paid $2,000 for this printer, and we want to keep using it. I know, but it's been 20 years. Okay, you've got your money out of the printer. You could buy a faster USB printer for $100. Okay, so because sometimes retrofitting a computer, now you could get something called a parallel converter for your old computer, plug it in there, and then plug your printer into it. You can get a parallel to USB converter. That's a cable with a USB on one side and a parallel on the other side. Tell you what, when you start getting to adapters, they start to they could mess up. Okay, things aren't as foolproof because you're kind of retrofitting things again. The parallel printers, some of them are not bidirectional. Don't know how to explain that quickly, but that's when the printer will communicate back to the computer. Okay, and you want to turn off bidirectional on your computer, otherwise it doesn't know how to communicate with a printer, because really the printer is 20 years old and your computer is 1 year old, and it won't communicate really well. So please start to buy new equipment. Like, for instance, this lady needs a serial scanner. So I don't know what particular thing is. Maybe it's a barcode scanner or some kind of check reader or something like that. But I guarantee you, if you still have something called a serial product, I guarantee you that somebody has created a new one by now. The company, it may be $200, but really, it's worth the $200 instead of spending $50 on the adapter and, you know, possibly $80 to have somebody come out and configure it and then continual troubleshooting. So I would really buy a new thing rather than working with the old thing. And again, that applies to computers as well as girlfriends. Okay, a couple more emails. It's funny because last show I actually read an email from this lady. She said, should I get a desktop or a laptop? You know, and it's kind of odd that you would ask a stranger like me, you know, should I get a desktop or a laptop? But because I don't know. I don't know what kind of lifestyle you have or anything like that. You know, if you travel, you need a laptop because it's really hard to get a desktop on an airplane. A laptop will give you a little more neck and wrist pain. Okay, your neck is kind of craned down, looking down at the keyboard, as opposed to your, and your wrists are kind of twisted a little bit funny. So a desktop is a little bit more troublesome, but portable, right? You also have a better chance of dropping a laptop. You're probably not going to drop your desktop because it's sitting on your desk, right, or on the floor. But so you don't usually have accidental damage with a desktop. But desktops actually have a better lifespan than a laptop. The reason is because of all the cooling and the fans in the computer. You know, heat will kill a computer. Don't know the intrinsics of the electronic mumbo-jumbo about why this happens, but the more you take electronic stuff and you cram it into a smaller space, the more chance that you're going to have of an accidental overheat or something kind of damage to the motherboard and circuitry that's not your fault. The only part is that it's too much heat in a small section. So desktops are bigger, but that gives really good airflow. They have certain desktops called slimlines. They're about, I'd say, 25% smaller than a normal desktop, and they turn everything kind of sideways so the CD-ROM's up and down, and it's a little bit smaller, and it's kind of cuter. You know, people say, oh, look, I don't have a big computer anymore. I have a small computer. But those actually have about 1 year less of lifespan than the larger computers because things overheat because it's crammed into a smaller space. So similar, the all-in-one computers. Some of those you cram or even to a smaller space and shove it behind a screen that's also generating some heat. So that will also create a more heat and make a lower lifespan for that computer. So I really think a desktop is the way to go if you don't have any need to have a laptop. Also with a desktop, you'll have the enjoyment of a very large screen. You know, screens only cost about $150 for a huge 23-inch screen. I have three 20-inch screens here in the studio, and I love it. But that way you don't have to minimize things so much. A larger screen, you can work on many things at the same time. So that's what I would suggest for this lady who asked me the same question that she asked me last week. Okay, let's see. We've got one more question here. This is from a lady who wants us to help diagnose her computer. So she said that you know, her computer's freezing up and shutting down, and we're saying, you know, if that happens, usually it's a bad hard drive on a computer. And the hard drive is the thing that holds all your information. So it's going to hold your Windows and your antivirus and your Microsoft Word and all your precious family documents and pictures and resume and things like that. Okay, when if a computer freezes up, it's usually the hard drive, okay, just my psychic ability. They usually die within 5 to 7 years too. And we asked her to bring this computer into our shop in Denver to help her diagnose it, and we charge a flat fee for having her bring it in. And she says, I'm having so many problems, I'd rather have somebody come to my house and diagnose it here. Well, let me just – I'm going to call this lady back personally, but when you diagnose something on site, it could be 2 hours that we're just really sitting there waiting for this test to finish. So it's not something that's economically best for you if you have us come to your house and do something for a lot higher cost just because you don't want to unplug it. So, you know, even though a lot of people do have carry-in service – I mean, I'm sorry, on-site service like Geek Squad or Geeks on Call and ourselves, you know, to come out to your house, sometimes the best solution is to deliver it to the computer location so it doesn't cost you as much money. So that's a solution for this lady. Hey, when we get back, we're going to talk about some really incredible things happening in the news right now. And a lot of you listeners may know about it more than I do, but I'm going to give you my two cents. You know, one big thing that's out there right now is that it's been reported that the government is setting up Facebook servers that look like it's Facebook. Okay. So if you're a criminal mastermind and you go to Facebook, you will actually be forwarded to a government server where they can install spyware on your computer to spy on you. Now, you're probably asking, wait, which government is this? Yes, this is the United States government. And actually, there's a big thing about Mark Zuckerberg. He's the founder of Facebook, has personally called Barack Obama and talked to him about this and said, you should not be impersonating a Facebook server. What on earth are you thinking? There's other things, too, that the NSA has been doing. For instance, they are intercepting laptops, brand new laptops being shipped to people. And what they will do is put a program on there that will be a spyware program. So when you get a new laptop, you're assuming you're getting something new, never been touched by a human, but it may have been touched by the NSA or some other agency that put some programs on there prior to you getting it so they can spy on you while you're looking at your computer. Think about that during our commercial break. It's really concerning about this. I'm not a political advocate. I don't really know much about politics at all, but isn't this a little odd that our own country would set up a Facebook server to spy on certain people, and they can set up things where you get a brand new laptop from Dell. I mean, you ship it from Dell. You yourself go order it. You get it at your house, and it's already got spyware on there that is not going to be detected because they want to spy on you. And we're talking about turning on the camera on a laptop and gathering that information and sending it without your knowledge. It's really, really a very concerning thing. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that right after this break.